Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Hey, this week, I've been going down memory lane. I've been talking about a property that my wife and I bought 23 years ago. We sold it 20 years ago. We sold it to a husband and wife at the time. And, you know, we went about our merry way. Well, I got nostalgic over the weekend, and I decided to take a look at what that house was doing price-wise, because I was curious, because the property is in Southern California. And as everyone knows, real estate prices always go up, 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 and up in Californian markets. Well, at least until they don't. Yeah. But California tends to have better appreciation rates than many other parts of the country. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. I mean, if you really dig into the details, you can find out why. It's got to do with scarcity of available product. It's got to do with the fact that a lot of desirable California cities are what are considered built out. In other words, there's no more usable land. And what usable land might be there is, you know, probably got something on it, in which case you're going to have to maybe do rehab and potentially extensive rehab or just complete demo. Yeah. So the housing market in California is what it is. And a lot of people that live in California, their retirement plan is to buy a house. Yeah, that's the conventional wisdom out there amongst the working class. Now, I'll tell you, the majority of the working class out there probably can't qualify to buy a home, even with interest rates as low as they are, because the pricing is so high. Okay, take into account that the property that I used to own, that somebody bought from me 20 years ago, they still own it based on what I can tell. They bought it for $214,500. Based on Zillow's estimate, now they give me a range, but they also give me a specific number. They say it's $608,700. That's what they think the property would be worth if I decide to go buy this property back from the guy, assuming he would want to sell it to me. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, I have no interest in buying that property. And here's why. At $608,700, that price point is too ridiculous based on the rental income streams that Zillow says that I could potentially command from that home, which I think was right. We'll call it $2,900. That might be a little high, but the numbers don't work. They don't. You have to put too much money into that property to get it to cash flow. And what that causes you to do is have, you know, dead equity in the asset. And then to get your money back out, well, you'd either have to refinance it out or you just don't put it in which case now you're dealing with negative cash flow. Yeah, okay, so it's a poison pill. There's another way to describe it. It's a poison pill. But having lived and worked and studied and created a family and grew my family up in California, I know so many people that absolutely believe that the only way they're going to survive retirement is to buy a house, live in it, pay that mortgage off, and have that big fat chunk of equity there so that somewhere down the line, maybe you need to tap into it. Maybe you sell the house. Maybe you go somewhere else. I don't know. But I will tell you this, that strategy right there is terrible. It is terrible. Because what will happen to you is you will get yourself to a place in time where your situation is going to change. Your situation will absolutely change over time. And I don't care how much you try and keep everything the same, it's going to change over time. What am I getting at? All right. 20 years ago, I sold this house to the guy that owns it. Okay. 20 years ago, I was a captain in the United States Army. I was married. I had two brand new newborns. I had bought my first house, and I was being PCS'd to another place. I had to leave Southern California and go where the Army told me to go. Now, today, I'm selling my house, but I'm selling my house based on the fact that's what I want to do. Not because a job has told me you need to relocate. Not because market conditions are doing certain things. Although, to be honest with you, market conditions did kind of spur me to sell my existing home. And to harvest the equity. Yeah, to pull the money out of it. There's a lot of dead equity sitting in this property. And the house is too big. So, smart people go, let's take the money out. Let's repurpose the money. Now, dumb people will take all that money and they'll go buy boats and jet skis and pay all cash for this stuff. They'll buy stuff that they will use periodically. Because think about it. If you're working in a full-time job, you don't have time to be at the lake every day. You don't. But you'll have the toys if you do find the time to carve it out. Oh, and by the way, those things that you bought, they're technically assets. They are. Now, they're probably not business assets. Yeah, so you're not going to be able to do anything as far as get some kind of tax remedy by owning and operating those, unless, of course, maybe you go into the, you know, the fishing or ski boat business and you take people around the lake, which I think is a dumb idea, unless that's what you do for a living, in which case you're probably really good at it and I got no place to say anything. But my point is this, those assets that you buy, we call those depreciating assets because they'll actually go down in value over time. They will wear out over time. And you get to a certain point in life, they're worn out. Now what do you do? All right. What we're going to talk about on today's show is we're going to talk about a strategy. A strategy that if I had the opportunity to actually reach out to the guy that bought my house based on the financial situation I believe he's in, a strategy that will radically change his life. Are you interested? Tune in. After the commercial break, I'm going to blow your mind.
We sold one of my wife's properties and actually did a 1031 exchange, and we bought three brand new builds in Fort Worth. So right now, collectively, we have three of her inherited properties and then three properties in Fort Worth that we've done through Lifestyles.
And you turn one property into three, tripling your cash flow.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well done.
Learn to increase your cash flow. Register for the workshop at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
You can't be financially free if you're psychologically imprisoned by disabling belief systems.
Are you ready to break free from your disabling belief systems about money, real estate, retirement, and financial freedom? Then join us for Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Learn the belief system that thousands of people like you have used to break free from corporate America and create the lives they have always wanted. Register at lifestylesunlimitedfreeworkshop.com. Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. All right. When you become a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, one of the first things that we will do with you as part of your educational training, because we're going to teach you everything you need to know to be a successful real estate investor. What does that mean? Well, that means if you don't know what you're doing, this is perfect because when we're done with you, you will know exactly what you're doing. If you kind of know what you're doing, but you're having some setbacks or you know, things aren't firing in all cylinders, that's really a great reason to come be a member of what we do because we can help you fine tune that engine and get you going so much faster. But one of those things that we do initially when we train you on how to invest correctly is we have you take a look at where all your money's at. Yeah. Now, you might think, well, my money's in the bank. It's in my checking account. And you would be right. There is money in there. And you might even have a savings account. Or you may be like me and you have like 14 different checking and savings accounts. Now, I'm not going to explain why I have all of those. But just to let you know, yeah, I've got money in the bank too. But there are places that you have money that you either know about or you don't. Yeah. I mean, case in point, if you own your home, you probably know what the home was worth. You probably know what you paid for the house. You probably know what you've spent to make improvements on the house. You probably know what your loan balance is. So you have a pretty good idea of what your equity is and what your basis is in the property. Okay, if you didn't understand what I just said, not a problem. Not a problem. It's just the lingo we use. Yeah, you'll learn all this stuff. It's not that big deal. So okay, what I really said was your equity is the difference between what your property is worth and what you owe on the property. Now, if you don't owe anything on the property, your equity is 100%. Yeah, I mean, because that's all your money stuck in that house. You might have other places where you have money. Now, let me give you an example of one place where I had money that, you know, you may just go, oh, I didn't think of that, because I was that guy. I was like, till somebody mentioned it, I didn't think of it. See, I had a beautiful 2013 BMW motorcycle. I had the big touring bike. It was all black. As a matter of fact, I bought it when I was traveling through Germany on my way to Afghanistan. I had a little layover time. I hooked up with the BMW dealer there, and I said, hey, man, I'm an American citizen going into harm's way. Do you guys have some kind of buying program? And they said, oh, yeah, we got a deal for you. So they gave me a really good deal on the motorcycle. And that motorcycle was, you know, it was basically my gift to myself for having spent 27 years in the Army, because I knew when I was coming home from that tour, I was going to retire. So that was my big woohoo, I survived the Army gift. But here's the problem with that motorcycle. I never had time to ride it, because when I retired, I had to go back to work, right? And I didn't really get a chance to ride that bike. I didn't really get a chance to enjoy that bike. Yeah, one time I kind of made it my commuting cycle, which was okay. But, you know, I didn't enjoy commuting on a motorcycle. I'd rather be in a car, to be honest with you. And at a certain point, I started to realize that motorcycle, which was all paid off, by the way. Yeah, I paid all cash for it, because I had the cash available at the time, which was a dumb move, but that's what I did. So I bought the motorcycle and stayed in my garage. I think I amassed maybe 5,000 miles on the thing, which is not a lot of miles for having owned it for the 5 years that I owned it. See, what I did in 2018, after becoming a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, I started looking at where my money was tied up. And I realized that I had an asset sitting in my garage that looked very pretty, but I didn't get to use it very much. And every day I walked out into the garage, it went down a little bit in value. Because motorcycles and cars and things like that, boats, all that stuff, they're all depreciable assets. In other words, they're going to go down in value as they wear out over time. Now, real estate tends to kind of do both things. You can actually take depreciation costs, but as we know, real estate tends to increase in value over time. As a matter of fact, it's the only asset class that I'm really aware of that does a really good job of staying ahead of inflation year after year after year. And don't give me your stock market arguments, because I don't believe them. I just don't believe them. So what did I do with that beautiful motorcycle? I sold it. Because here's the thing. I think I spent like, I don't know, $22,000 for it. So over a period of 5 years, I consumed $12,000 worth of that money, but I only got about 5,000 miles of enjoyment out of it. I was able to sell it, and I think I got a little more than 10. I think I got 12,000 out of the deal. Yeah, I think I got 12,000. But that's my point. It cost me $10,000 to once in a while ride that thing. Yeah. And then when I finally said, that's it, I'm done, I'm just really not enjoying it anymore, and I sold it, it was only worth $12,000. So what did I do with that $12,000? Well, I took that $12,000 and I put it into what I call my investment fund. So there is liquid dollars sitting in a particular checking account that I have. Actually, I think it's in a savings account because I might actually get like a 0.25% interest as opposed to 0 on the checking account, and I can just move it if I want to transfer it, write a check against it. So that became a better use of my money. Things like insurance products. If you've got whole life insurance products, you really need to sit down and take a look at why do you have those to begin with? And second of all, what kind of rates of return are you receiving on those? See, I was one of those guys that had a financial planner that told me back in the day I needed to have whole life. And part of it had to do with the fact I was in the military, so I had to have what was called a war clause. In other words, or I had to make sure there was no war clause in my policy because, you know, my line of work could be a little hazardous. And there were certain insurance products out there that had that, and I was able to buy those things. But they were very expensive because they had a financial component to it, which at the end of the day actually returned me like 8% year over year, which, you know, for being a lazy investor, I guess was okay. But once I realized that I had $80,000 in cash value sitting there and that I could get rid of a $600 a month payment and replace it with term life insurance that only cost me $100 a month, therefore adjusting my expenses every month by $500, still having the insurance coverage that I need, now I've got $80,000 in the war chest to invest. Yeah. That's where I'm going with all this stuff. And we talk it through with you because you'd be surprised where you have money. At the end of the day, it is very important for you to identify where all your dollars are at and what kind of returns those dollars are giving you. Like for me, the motorcycle, 0. I was losing money. I was losing money to have the motorcycle. The whole life insurance, 8%. I still had insurance, but I found a cheaper methodology to get the same insurance and pull my money out. Because $80,000 at the age of 60 was not going to make a massive dent in my retirement strategy if I was to keep doing things the way I had been doing them. Okay, when we come back from the break, I'm going to get into what I think the gentleman should do that lives in the house that I used to own 20 years ago because he's sitting on a ton of equity. Stick around.
Everyone is asking, is it still a good time to invest in real estate?
We see no indication that for the foreseeable future, and even the unforeseeable future, no indication whatsoever that real estate is suddenly not going to be the best vehicle for creating wealth and passive income for your family. And so that would say that now is the time to get in. And we very rarely talk about this because we talk about cash flow. But now we're talking a little bit about capital gains and what the future brings in that property. Because it's real. At the end of the day, you have all your cash flow, but you've got this nice capital gain when you sell. And the inflation that we see and the reasons for it are going to continue. And we're going to see great capital gains at the end of the line when we sell these properties.
Get in on the next free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Warning. Listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so this week I've been, man, you're probably tired of me talking about this guy that bought my house 20 years ago. I don't even know who the guy is. I really don't. I've never physically met this person. All I know is that person still owns the property. And that person bought it with another person because I remember it was a husband and wife couple that came in and made the offer. And that's all I remember. That's all I remember. And then when I went to the tax records over the weekend, it dawned on me that something happened in his household and either he was divorced and wound up with the house, or maybe there was a death which caused him to wind up with the house. I don't know how she got off the title, and it really doesn't matter. Because all that matters is that the gentleman that owns that house, who still lives in that house, has a lot of equity in that property. Yeah. So he took a loan out 20 years ago, and he's been paying that loan down. He has been paying that loan down. As a matter of fact, my estimates based on the forensic accounting I did, boy, that sounded impressive, didn't it? I said the word forensic accounting, and all the Lifestyles Unlimited members that are accountants are listening to me right now going, I really did? Is that all you got? Okay, so, all right, I don't pretend to be an accountant. I really don't. But here's what I learned. Based on the value of that house today, it has gone up in value, went from $214,500 when I sold it to him 20 years ago to an estimated value of $608,700, and it could actually be worth more. Based on the principal paydown schedules that I looked at, I determined that he maybe has about, I don't know, $81,000 left to pay off in that property. Yeah, so everything in between what it's really worth and what he owes, that's called equity. That's called equity. And this guy is doing exactly, now I don't know what his game plan is. I'll be very honest, I do not know what his game plan is, but I think I know. I think what he's doing is exactly what people told him to do 20 years ago, and he's been religious at it. He's been doing it day in and day out. He's been living in his home. He's been paying his mortgage. He has not been tapping into the equity, because if you take equity out of the property, your monthly payment goes up, right? Okay, so he's got a pretty conservative payment. I mean, I know what his taxes are. I've got a pretty good idea what he probably pays for insurance, because it's not hard to figure that out. I can run the principal interest schedule based on when he bought the property. And, you know, if I really wanted to, I still have the old contracts in my archives, because I keep every record of a real estate transaction. And if you don't do that, you're wrong. You need to keep every record of a real estate transaction, because trust me, one day you'll be glad you did. You will absolutely be glad you did. So here's the problem I see this guy having. All that equity, it's not doing anything for him. Now, I don't know how old the guy is. I'm assuming he's about my age. So, you know, maybe he's getting close to 60. Maybe he was younger than me. I really don't know much about this guy. So I'm just going to assume he's maybe in my ballpark with age. And maybe he's considering retirement. Now, he's got a couple of things that he's going to have to come to grips with. He's either going to have to sell that house so that he can get the equity out, so he can start living off of that money, because maybe that's his retirement plan. Maybe he's going to leave his job. I don't know if he's got retirement accounts. I don't know if he's got a pension. I don't know what's going on in this guy's life. But what I do know is he's got a ton of money stuck in this house. Now, if he sold the house, I estimate he'd be able to pull about $485,000 out of the property. But unless he wants to move somewhere else, he's going to have a huge problem, because he's not going to be able to replace that particular house, that particular location, and buy into a property at a price point that he bought into 20 years ago, because property values have adjusted over the last 20 years. And in this case, they've just about tripled. Yeah, it's a good problem. So, what he could do, if he wants the money, is I'd recommend he would do some type of refinance. And the reason for it is this. There's about $405,000 tied up in that property that he could get out of the property. Now, he could go to the lender and say, hey, man, can you do this as a second trustee behind my first trustee, because I'm paying mostly principal anyhow, and I just, you know, I want to do it that way. And most lenders are going to tell him, yeah, well, you know, that doesn't quite work for our risk model, because we're going to have such a huge number on the second position. We would rather cure that first note. In other words, pay it off, roll that money into the loan we're going to give you a brand new 30-year loan. What do you think about that? And to be honest with you, I think it's not a bad way to go. Now, I'm not going to get into the tax complications of doing a cash out refinance and what you do with the money. You need to have that conversation with your tax advisor. Yeah, because everybody's situation is different. Every time I go and read the IRS code, Okay, it's pretty clear to me that if you use the money to improve the existing property, you're probably okay. But if you use the money for other things, well, there may be some tax liabilities to that. So just make sure you understand the bigger picture before you launch. But I think this guy should take $405,000 out of his house. I really think he should. I think he should refinance. The rates are really good based on what I think his rate was back in the day compared to what it is now. Day and night. The money is so much cheaper today. Yeah. And provided he's got okay credit, he'll probably be able to pull all that money out. He probably will be able to pull that money out because the note is secured by the asset. The lender is comfortable being in an 80% loan to value because there's 20% of value that's cushion for them in case something happens in the real estate market. And this guy, I mean, he's been there 20 years. Chances are he'll be there another 10, maybe 20 years. I think the guy likes the house. Trust me, it was a great house. You want me to tell you what he should do with the money. And I'm going to get into that right now. I think what he needs to do, the first thing he needs to do is he needs to come to Lifestyles Unlimited, become a member, and have us educate him. Yeah, he needs to be properly educated on how the investing process works. Yeah, everything from figuring out what his game plan is, identifying his goals and objectives, building the game plan to do that. Now, with $400,000, he's really got a lot of options available to him. He could do single family houses. He could do multifamily apartments. He could buy his own apartment. Or he could invest with other Lifestyles Unlimited members that are going to do all the work, and he's going to get a good chunk of the returns. Or, you know, he could be like me and eventually go that lead investor route where he's syndicating those deals to other Lifestyles Unlimited members. And it doesn't matter which path he chooses. He can always adjust later. Yeah, it's totally cool. Now, my thought process is I'd like to see this guy do multifamily because I think his returns are going to be a lot better. I do. And, you know, he can take that 400 grand and he can drop it into a singular property, do all the things he needs to do, and it's all in one place. But there's another very interesting opportunity that fits really well for his $400,000. And this particular strategy involves buying houses. And what I'm going to do when we come back from the break is I'm going to tell you how you can take that $400,000 and literally triple it in 5 years. Interested? Yep, me too. Stick around.
The only bus ticket worth millions.
That bus tour on Friday, was that not crazy fun? Loaded with like-minded people, loaded up with a bus full of millionaires. We rocked it. We laughed and learned and chatted and networked and had fun doing it.
Seeing the complexes in person, being able to touch it, feel it, talk to the owners.
And what they've done with them.
What they've done with them, you know. And watching a webinar, you know, seeing photos, it doesn't do it justice, you know.
No, being here is huge, yeah. And we're really excited for it. And now we're like jumping in with both feet.
To be able to go out and see 4 apartment complexes all in the same day, you know, especially when we got back and we were able to debrief and go through it all, cover it all, it really was an interesting event. And people were loving it.
You'll love it too. Come laugh, learn, and level up your apartment investing skills. Meet and debrief with Dale Walmsley, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited. Register at MultifamilyMastersTour.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. All right, get ready for it because I'm going to hit you with the fire hose of information. I'm going to explain to you how this guy I don't even know who lives in a house that I sold to him 20 years ago can take the $405,000 that I believe he has trapped in that home as equity out of that property. And he can take that money and he can start systematically buying single-family rental homes. And that's the path that I'm going to talk to you about today, is the fact that he can repurpose all of that money, and at a just an average cash out-of-pocket rate of about $28,000, he can buy 14 homes. And the way I think he needs to do it is I think he needs to get himself, well, first of all, educated. I mean, because he shouldn't do any of this unless he knows what he's doing. Once he gets that education, he needs to get a mentor. And, I mean, the mentor is important. Don't skip that part. You really need somebody who's been there, done that, that understands the pitfalls of what you're about to walk into, because these are the people that can help fill in those holes for you. Very important. Don't skip the mentor piece. The other piece that you need to build a team. You absolutely need to build a team. Now, let's just say for giggles and grins, this guy decides he wants to invest in Houston, because I'll tell you, I think the Houston market is very, very excellent right now, especially in the single family space. And I've seen a lot of really good deals come across my desk that, to be honest with you, I'm not in a buying position right now because I'm doing different things with my investments. So even though I look at those deals, I don't launch, which is good for other members of Lifestyles Unlimited, because I'm not eating their prey, so to speak. Yeah. You build a team around you. If he's going to invest in Houston, he just needs a team that's resident in Houston. Yeah, he needs a good general contractor. He needs a really good lender that understands the investing side. Yeah, don't go to one of those, you know, online banks or, you know, one of those big ginormous mortgage companies, because they don't understand the nuances of what we do. It's part of the reason we have a vendor list that's available to you, so that you have access to the people that, you know, you need to have access to. So you're not screening from this giant ocean of people. You're screening from a very small pool of individuals that understand the services that they're offering to us as members of Lifestyles Unlimited. Yeah, that's kind of the way it works. So once he has all of those things laid out and he's ready to rock and roll, and his mentors looked at his plan and he said, you know what, man, this is going to work. You need to execute. What I want him to do is I want him to start buying single family homes. Now, I can't predict what kind of homes he will buy, but here's where I want him to be. I want him to pick up and renovate and put back into service one home per month. That is absolutely doable, with the goal of ultimately buying 14 homes over a 14-month period. And during that 14-month period, he's not going to be working very hard. No, because he's orchestrating the deal. So let me give you an idea of what the returns are, because without the returns, none of this makes any sense to you. That just sounds like a lot more work, right? Okay. What I did was I took a sample deal. In other words, Moon sent me another property the other day, and I was like, another one I can't buy. And I think I mentioned on yesterday's show, you know, this is one that's, the property's in pretty bad shape. And we know it's in pretty bad shape because you can buy it for 45 cents on the dollar. Yeah. So this is going to require some heavy rehab. It's going to take a little time to do that. There's a lot more things that need to be addressed. But a well-orchestrated team can knock it out. They can get it done, especially if you're hiring contractors and they know there's 13 more houses after this one. Makes a huge world of difference. Huge world of difference. So let me just give you the basic parameters, because I'm basing my projections off of a cookie cutter approach. Yeah, so I'm going to take this property that we kind of talked about yesterday. I'll tell you more about it today. You may have missed yesterday's show. I get that. And then I'm going to supersize it. I'm going to overlay the financials from one property onto all 14 properties, and I'm going to give you a roll-up of what this guy can achieve. All right? And we're going to talk about the timeline along the way. So, well, since I mentioned timeline, let's talk about timeline. I'm going to give him 2 years. Now, most Lifestyles Unlimited members don't need 2 years to do what I'm about ready to describe to you. They can probably get it done in about 18 months, but I like to go very conservative on anything that I plan. I always want to build in uh-oh factors for things that could come up that you just have no control over. Who knows? Maybe this guy's got a daughter, and maybe all of a sudden through this two-year plan, the daughter decides, hey, Dad, I'm getting married, and I need you at the wedding. So all of a sudden, that becomes the focus of his life, and he kind of turns away from what he's doing. Oh, wait a minute. The way we invest in real estate, you can still get all this real estate done and still get her married. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But my point is this. In 2 years, he should be able to deploy all of that capital using the model of about $28,000 per house. It's going to cost him $28,000 cash out of pocket for each house he buys, and I want him to buy 14 houses. I'd actually have him buy more, but my model of the cash out of pocket is a little bit higher because, you know, like I said, I'm going to go a little bit more conservative. I'm going to give you the more intense number than a number that maybe you'd be able to achieve on your own, which, yeah. Okay, so $28,000 cash out of pocket. This particular house returns about $346 a month in cash flow. Yeah, you're going to get $4,152 every year in passive income. That's money left over after you collect the rent and you pay any and all expenses to include the debt service. You're going to have a little over $4,000 jingling around in your pocket at the end of the year. Not bad, is it? Now, here's the other thing that happens to you. Over time, this property is going to go up in value. Now, again, my numbers are very conservative, so I don't even factor in rent increases when I look at my numbers. I just say, hey, the rent's going to stay the same. It's never going to go up. Yeah, that's just the way I do it. Now, I kind of do that with property taxes, too, so it all kind of blends. But at the end of year three, given normal appreciation of about 3.5% per year. Now, right now, appreciation has been a lot higher than that just because of what's going on in the markets. But normal appreciation is about 3.5% per year. That property is going to go up in value almost $22,000. At the end of 5 years, that property is going to go up in value $37,500. Now, you're thinking, wait a minute, Al, you said 2 years, but now you're talking about 5 years. Oh, yeah, I guess I got to explain that. So the first 2 years, he's going to focus on acquiring assets, renovating assets, putting assets back into service, operating those assets. And before he gets to the end of 2 years, he should have all of his capital deployed, and he should have 14 houses. Now, one of the things he could do with some of the initial houses is start saving up some of that cash flow so that maybe he has a little extra money. Maybe he can do a 15th house. That's a good problem. The property will go up over time. We like to look at our single family properties with a 5-year hold. That's why I'm saying 5 years on the property. This is what that property does. When you analyze the cash flows that it produces over a 5-year period and the equity gains that are created by, first of all, capturing equity, we'll teach you how to do all that, and then enjoying the equity growth over time, which is just a natural thing. That property will return 275% return on your investment. So what that means is you started with $28,000. At the end of 5 years, you received cash payments in your pocket totaling $20,760. You got almost 3/4 of your money that you put into the deal, but back out of the deal already, and you haven't done anything. If you sell that property at the end of 5 years, that property is going to net you an additional $55,000, almost $56,000 in cash. Yeah, $56,000 in cash. As a matter of fact, when you close escrow, they're going to write you a check for $83,634. Yeah, and of course, portion is that is that original $28,000 that you put into the deal. But you're not working very hard. As a matter of fact, when you get to 14 homes at the end of 5 years, you're going to have income of over $58,000 in cash flow, which, by the way, replaces $100,000 income, maybe even higher income in California. That property will still retain, I mean, if we cookie cutter it all the way through, you're going to turn a $389,000 investment into a $1,171,000 return, and that doesn't even include the cash flow. If you want to find out how to do this, go to LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Thank you
you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.